Okay, in this session I'm going to speak on the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But just before I get into that, I would like to just explain one of the parables or one of the things Jesus said when he was on the earth. You know, Jesus one day they wanted to trick him and asked him, Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Then Jesus said, give me the coin with which you pay the tax. And then they gave him the coin. He says, whose inscription or whose image is on that coin? And they said Caesar's. Then he said, now give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Now we've always been thinking we must pay our money to Caesar and then we must pay money to God. No, the inscription of God was not on the coin. Whose inscription was on the coin? Caesar's. But where is the inscription of God? On mankind. And that's the gospel. You are made in the image of God and come back to God. Amen. I was just throwing that in for free. Hallelujah. Right, we're going to talk about the Lamb of God that was slain. I'm not going to read the verses. If you don't believe me, they are really there in the Bible. Okay? Yeah, you can believe me, they are there. Amen. Father, I want to thank you that every person will understand what I'm about to preach. I thank you, Lord, that minds will be enlightened, that the gospel of your grace can flood the belief systems of every person here to the point that we can see the very fruit of God. That we can see a life being born of God manifesting in them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, thank you that you've empowered me to do this powerfully. Amen. Now, John chapter 1 verse 29, John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And while he was baptizing, there came a man walking. It was Jesus. And John was baptizing. And when he saw Jesus, the Holy Spirit came on him. And he spoke these words, which was astonishing words to a Jew. He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now you will remember that the Jews understood that a lamb was something that was slain for the sin of a man. But there's something very interesting about Jesus as well. You remember when Abraham took his son up onto the mountain to sacrifice him? And he said, where's the lamb, Father? And then the father said, Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for the sacrifice. And we know the story as he was about to kill Isaac. The angel stopped him. And in the bushes, there was a ram. Not a lamb. A ram. Because the lamb, the one that God promised was still to come. Amen.
Amen.
Which is Jesus.
Yes, yes.
So here comes Jesus. And John says these words. Look at the Lamb who takes away the sin of the church. No, not the church. Let me tell you something. It's not the church's sin after you've decided to live right when your sin gets taken away. The sin is taken away. If you believe it, you'll find it leaves you. Believers don't leave their sin. Their sin leaves them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not teaching behavior modification. We are modifying belief. Hallelujah. So, in the Jewish time, what happened was they would bring a lamb to the priest. The lamb had to be spotless. No sin in the lamb. You could not bring a sick lamb. He had to be perfect. The best quality. Then you would come to the priest. You take the lamb. You put the lamb on the table. Then the priest gets busy with the lamb. He checks the ears. He checks the teeth. He checks the legs. He checks the lamb. Amen. He checks everything. And the man on this side, he's maybe standing there waiting for the priest to check the lamb. If the man comes, and the man says, you know, priest, this week I prayed 5 times. The priest says, and he's busy with a lamb. He doesn't worry if you prayed 5 times. He doesn't worry if you fasted. Because he's not investigating you, he's investigating the lamb. You know, when we come before God, you can come with all your prayers. You can come with your fasting. You can come with everything you've done good for God. You can even say, oh, thank you, God, that you've given me the power to love so good. Look at all the good I've done. God just says, and then he looks at the lamb. Because God is not investigating man. He's investigating the lamb. The Bible says God knows we are dust. He's not inspecting you, say, maybe this one is not dust. No. We are all dust. All sinners by our works. So here God comes in, or here the priest comes, he investigates the lamb. After investigating the lamb, if the lamb was perfect, he puts his hands on the lamb. It speaks of transference of sins. The moment that happened, all the sin of the man was put on the lamb. And the innocence of the lamb was put on the man. But the sin was still alive. But not in the man. In the lamb. Then the priest took a knife. Killed the lamb. Then the sin of the man died. In the lamb. Okay. Here Jesus comes. He's walking. He's walking on the banks of the Jordan River. The mud is in his feet. In his feet. He's smiling. And he comes and he talks to John the Baptist. Before he talks, John says, "Look at the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the whole world." So John was the son of the high priest. You know it, huh? So he's talking of priesthood. So Jesus said to John, "Hey John, baptize me please." He says, no, I must be baptized by you. John didn't know what was going on there. Jesus said, "No, baptize me, because if you baptize me, we will fulfill all righteousness." And then the priest. Now, before I do that, the baptism of John was the baptism of sinners.
Yeah.
If you were a sinner, you went to confess your sin, you were baptized with the baptism of John, waiting for Jesus to come. So you first had to say, "I'm a sinner. Repent." And then you were baptized. So it was the sinner's baptism. Here comes the sinless Lamb of God. And John baptizes him into the sin of the whole world. So when the priest John puts his hands on Jesus, the sin of the whole world came onto Jesus. He was put into the sins of man. And when he came out, the sin of every person sitting on the river bank, of every person that has already died, the sin of everyone that has to be born, came on him. Darkness left the earth and came onto the Lamb. And then the most beautiful thing of it all, the heavens went open and God spoke. He says, "This pleases me. It pleases me to see that this your sin is on my lamb, and that you are innocent because of this man. It pleases me." And now you are saying maybe, but that sounds too easy. That sounds too easy. If you are not ready to receive something for free, you cannot be saved. If you want to be saved, if you don't want to be holy for free, you will never be holy. The Bible says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." And I'll give you rest. You know what it means in the Greek? It says, come to me all you that work very hard. And you that are overburdened with the practicalities of religion. Come to me. So if you are a pastor today, and you work very hard to be accepted by God, and you are tired of all these practicalities of church, Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Amen. There's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. After he came up, he carried the sin of the world. The Holy Spirit came upon him, enabling him to carry that sin. Now in Matthew chapter 9, they brought a paralytic to Jesus. Jesus saw, they believed that Jesus can do something for him. They believed in Jesus. He saw their faith. So when he saw that they believe in him, he thought, well, if they believe that what I do is of God, let me tell them something that is worth believing. Then he said to the man, be of good cheer. Your sins, in the Greek it says, your sins has already been forgiven. You know what the Greek word forgive means? It means to divorce. To be separated from. So when Jesus was raised from the baptismal water, the Son of Man has been divorced from man. The Son of the whole world. Amen. So now he comes, he says to this man, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. The Pharisee says, he blasphemes. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Do you know what is evil? To think that the people out there, that their sins has not been removed from them. Hallelujah! I found the church is full of evil. Imagine, you go to a sinner, and here comes a man and says, I want to tell you, you are forgiven. You look at your pastor friend.
Ah,
I never even heard her confess. She has not even stopped her sin. Do you know why Jesus said your sins are forgiven? Because the sin of that man was on him. Now Jesus said the following thing. He said, what's easier to say? Be healed? Or to say, be forgiven? You know, we can go to a sinner in the street. We see he's full of pain. We come and tell him, in the name of Jesus, you are healed now.
Be healed now.
We say, you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. No problem. He never said, well, I'm sorry for anything. We just declare him, healing is for you now. I declare you healed. your sickness away 2,000 years ago. We don't have a problem with that. Hey, but to say to somebody he's already forgiven. That's a problem. Because we've got our method, you know. You come, you confess, you cry. That is not called repentance, that's called remorse. I'm going to say something shocking, but please listen. Repentance from sins can never save you. The Bible says we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart and we are saved. We don't care if people confess Jesus as really as their Lord. As long as what they are sorry enough for their sin, we say, we stamp them to heaven. We don't care if people acknowledge the rulership of the Lamb of God. We've made the message of repentance. Be sorry for your sins. Look at the new rules Jesus gave you. And then you serve it all the time. No, that's not repentance. Many people, they come to the front, they've been caught with adultery, they are repenting, they are crying. They are not sorry for their sin, they are sorry that they've been caught. They don't believe that they stand innocent before God. Let me explain to you. In South Africa, we've got a store called Lewis Stores. Lewis. There you buy the nice big flat screen TV there. Now say you buy your flat screen TV at Lewis. And they've got a competition there saying, for if you buy this flat screen in this month, you can be the lucky person to get a DVD player for free. If you're the lucky one. So you buy the TV, but you buy it on debt. You pay every month. So you take the TV home. Every month you give 500 rand. 500 rand. After 3 months, you skip to pay. You don't pay. The fourth month, you don't pay. The fifth month, you get a letter in the post. You got the lucky number. Come and fetch your DVD player for free.
We are sure a DVD player.
Are you going to fetch your DVD player? It's yours. It's given for free. All of a sudden you tell the wife, we don't need DVD player. You know the children are just going to waste their time with a DVD player where they must do their homework, you know. But it's your guilt that's keeping you away from what is free. So if somebody can come and tell you, you know, yesterday I saw somebody, he paid all your debt. Here's the receipt, it's paid.
Receipt,
You think you're guilty, but you are innocent. You are going to Lewis as if you have always paid. I want my DVD player, please. Here's my receipt. That's why we want to declare people innocent, so that they can come to God to receive the Holy Spirit. It's the guilt of people that keeps them out of church. It's the guilt in the hearts of people preached by pastors that's supposed to preach grace, that self did not know grace because of ignorance. That's keeping people away. I declare you innocent by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Thank you.